Hey everyone, you are listening to episode 14 of the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Welcome to Drunk Sex. Whatever you're into, we've got you covered. So crack open your favorite beverage and join your host, Jen Wadkey, for the Drunk Sex Podcast.
December, it's almost Christmas. Am I the only one drinking more than usual to cope? I can't wait for one more week of work to be over, actually four more work days, and then I'm off to Mexico with the family, and then I get a week to chill. Cannot wait for that. I hope y'all are having a relatively not so crazy December and you're getting through the holiday season and all the craziness that comes along with that. I'm drinking a shitty red today. That's all you need to know. So today I wanted to talk about how sexuality is portrayed in the media. Specifically, I'm going to be focusing on written erotica. I think it's really important to look at some of these common sexuality myths that we get on TV and movies and in literature, because for a lot of us, we don't really get a great sex education from the school system. And so may, you know, take in a lot of these popular culture teachings and internalize them and come up with our own philosophy on sexuality and relationships and how that should be and how it should look. And some of that's not really healthy in the sense that some of these teachings are kind of bullshit. And I wanted to run through some of them. I write erotica, so that's why I'm choosing to focus on that media because it's a little bit more near and dear to my heart. If you are an erotica fan, you can purchase erotica on my site, jenwadkey.com. You can also go to the podcast Steamy Stories, where I just read some of my erotica completely free. So check that out. So the first myth is the wetness myth. Often is portrayed that wetness equals desire. And the reason that that is complete and utter bullshit is that wetness is a physiological response. It's just something that female bodies do and male bodies do as well, pre-cum and all of that, to prepare for sex. That has nothing to do with the emotional experience of feeling desire, of wanting to have sex. And these get conflated so often in erotica. And I confess, I have done this too, like, oh, you're so wet. And then she says something like, oh, it's all for you. I've been wet for you since the moment we wet, blah, blah, blah. It's 100% lazy writing. Like I said, I've done it. I've read it. It's not only in erotica, written erotica. It's in TV and movies. It's all over the place. And it's such an easy shortcut to convey that a woman is feeling emotional desire. But that wetness isn't emotional desire. It's totally just her body reacting. So how do we communicate desire then if we're not going to let ourselves use that wetness shortcut? I don't know. Can we just say that I'm, you know, I feel really turned on, really want you right now. Have been waiting to get into your pants from the moment that we met. I don't know. Isn't that sexier than just going, oh yeah, you're really wet. I don't know. This whole wetness thing is problematic. And the other part of that is that sometimes our bodies don't always respond the way we want them to. You may be feeling really turned on, wanna fuck, and just not quite feeling that wetness. Does that mean you're not turned on? Does that mean you're not aroused? No, it just means your body's not cooperating. So you grab a bottle of lube and away you go. But you never see that in erotica. And I promise I'm gonna stop being a lazy, shitty writer and using this shortcut and actually have my characters communicate desire with their words and their actions instead of just this, oh, you're wet. You must want to fuck anybody and everybody that's walking by. It's bullshit. The second one, non-consent. Oh, this is so fucking overdone in erotica. You know, the pirate trope where she winds up on this ship and she's a captive and she's really scared of the captain or whoever her captor is. And then he, you know, starts to take advantage of her. You can't see me using air quotes, but I'm using air quotes. And initially she doesn't want it, but then it feels so good. And then she's into it. And all of a sudden she's in love and it's great. And that consent is retroactive. That's problematic and bullshit. And I think it really contributes to rape culture in the sense that it creates a world whereby the yes you get later absolves you of that no that you didn't listen to at the beginning. again, not only in written erotica, we see this in TV and movies all the time, and it's a big fucking problem. This one, I don't do. And I think the reason why this gets used as often as it does is that I think a lot of women have rape fantasies. And rape fantasy is about, there's a little bit, I think, of power play and control. But I think fundamentally a rape fantasy is about somebody wanting you so badly that they just can't help themselves. And there's something really hot about that for sure. So how do we navigate those rape fantasies that a lot of us have and a lot of us want to play with and a lot of us get turned on reading them? But how do we navigate that non-consent culture that it's creating in our world? I don't know. I don't know what to do with that. What do you guys think? I don't know. This one really, I think about this, and you can probably tell I overthink a lot of shit. And this is one of them. Because I personally have, you know, I hate calling them rape fantasies. It's not the right word. I've heard a better term, ravishment fantasies, because rape is really about a physical violation and using the genitals as a weapon to do violence on somebody. So I think more accurate is the term ravishment fantasy, and that it's really about your partner being overcome by how beautiful you are, how smart you are, how much they want you, how much you turn them on, and they just can't stop touching you. That's a different beast than a rape, I think. The non-consent is still kind of swirling around there and really problematic. And like I said, I don't really know what to do with it, but I definitely get it. I get why it's out there. I get why it can be really hot. I mean, 50 Shades of Grey had a lot of non-consent shit going on in there, and there are a lot of problems with that book. But a lot of women responded to that book, and I think a lot of it was that Christian just could not help himself. He could not stay away from Anna. There's something about that, like, primal, overriding desire that can really make people, I think, feel special. And I think when we want that ravishment, that, you know, somebody can't control themselves, I think it has to do with us really wanting to feel needed and wanted. So I don't know. This is still a big question for me in terms of what to do with it. And I think for me, it plays differently on the page than it does on screen. I find when I see this kind of non-consent on screen, I find it a lot harder to stomach. And I find it, for me, it's much more black and white, and that it's a non-consent issue. Whereas when I read some of this stuff, I think because when you read, you're interacting with the material in a much more active way than when you're watching a movie or a TV show. So I think the reader can play with that non-consent a little bit in a way that makes it feel okay for them. Whereas you can't always do that, I think, with TV and film, for me anyway. But yeah, consent is sexy. Get consent. Building on that, one of my super fucking pet peeves is that the woman is so often completely and utterly inexperienced. And this also drives me batshit. It's like she has no sexuality until this magical, wonderful man comes along, and all of a sudden she's going back to that wetness myth, gushing buckets, she's deep throating, she wants to do every kinky, dirty thing under the sun. I don't think life works that way. I think most of us have a sexual growth along kind of a progression. And a lot of us experiment with different partners in terms of what works for us as a relationship, an emotional relationship versus a sexual relationship, what we like, what we don't like. And I think it's sexier to come to the table having had experience and having had tried things and having found your own sexuality before you come to share it with somebody else. So inexperienced woman thing, I find it really, really not sexy at all. But again, I wonder if it has to do with the need for women to just feel really desired and really wanted, and that, you know, somebody all of a sudden flipping a switch somehow imply a super special feeling. I don't know. I'm rambling a little bit now. This is another one I don't do in my writing. Most of my characters are sluts all around, and they just come together and be slutty together and then fall in love, which I think is great. There's nothing wrong with coming to the table like a slut. It doesn't mean you don't get love. You don't get love because you're a virgin. And if somebody who withholds love because you have a sexual past, well, fuck them. And then you have the orgasm in erotica. So many problems with orgasms in erotica. Where do I start? First one, female orgasms from penetrative sex. Can some women do this? Sure. Can most women do this? Not so much. It's not that common. Many women orgasm from stimulation that is not dick in vagina. It's fingers, it's tongues, it's rubbing, it's toys. There's also an element of everybody comes all the time. Doesn't always happen. And that's fine. I mean, I've had male partners who occasionally have not orgasmed. That's life. That's the way it goes. I've had sexual experiences where I haven't had an orgasm either. That's the way it goes. It's not, we don't orgasm every single time with every single person we have sex. We're not machines. Our bodies don't always work that way. But in erotica, you would think everybody is coming from penis and vagina sex every time and often at the same time. Simultaneous orgasm is not a thing that comes easy for a lot of people. You can definitely work at it if you and your partner sit down and decide that that's something you want to experience, but it takes a fuck ton of communication and control because one partner maybe has to hold back if the other partner's not there and vice versa. And you just keep talking and stimulating each other until you're both close and then you both agree to have an orgasm at the same time. But that is difficult and you have to work at it. It doesn't just magically happen. One of the favorite terms I came across lately was the alpha hole, which I don't know who coined that term, but I love it. And this male character, you have seen him in so many erotica novels, TVs, movies. He's the rich asshole. He's cold. He's arrogant. He's good looking. He can fuck anyone and everything he wants. But then he, you know, usually comes across this inexperienced, mousy, virginal girl and is struck by her and can't stop thinking about her and has to have her and what is going on. And he's often mean to her. He often belittles her, condescending. And yet somehow he just keeps being drawn to her and she fucking likes it. And she fucking takes his abusive bullshit. I'm talking to you, Anastasia Steele. And numerous other heroines in erotic literature. Why I think this is so problematic is it reinforces a myth that I think we first start being taught more way back in elementary school. You know, when a little boy pulls a little girl's hair and she wants him to stop and, you know, he keeps bugging her and poking her or whatever. When she complains to the teacher, she complains to parents, whatever adults in her life, and is often told, oh, it just means he likes you. This sets up girls and women to believe and to internalize that men being mean and rude and ignoring their boundaries is normal and acceptable and is how men show love. That is complete fucking bullshit. So it starts in elementary school with that kind of stuff. And then we continue to get it in our common media with these alpha assholes who treat women awfully. And it's just, it's problematic. A dude treats you like that? Fucking dump him. Talks to you condescending? Dump him. Talks like he's doing you a favor dating you? Fucking dump him. Overrides your boundaries? Dump him. Forces you to go on birth control? Dump him. Like, it's just outrageous bullshit. I think the best erotica are when the partners come to the table, as I said, I like them coming to the table experience, but I get that that is not necessarily everybody's bag. But when they come to the table and they really like each other and treat each other well, that's the hottest stuff. And then if that's the established relationship, then you can start playing with power play and, you know, control and, you know, some of these, you know, more nebulous sort of boundary things. Once both partners are okay with it and have established that they like and respect each other and trust each other, that's when I think you need to get into it. I don't think you come in, asshole, and then you fall in love and are having all this wild kinky sex. I think it's the reverse. I think you come in, create a loving, kind relationship where you respect each other, and then you have all the freedom and trust to experiment with anything and everything that crosses your minds. That's what I want to see more of in erotica. Not these fucking assholes who treat women like shit. And she just keeps taking it because, well, probably because she's never had sex before and doesn't know that there are plenty of other men out there who could fuck her just as well as he does. Ugh. Oh, my next note was possessive. I think I've covered that. Oh, maybe not quite as much. Possessive in the sense that he often doesn't want anybody looking at her. He doesn't want her to wear clothing that's too revealing. He doesn't like her talking to men. He gets jealous. Again, this is bullshit. And this is so pervasive in our culture that women should, you know, make day-to-day decisions about their lives to protect and coddle the men in their lives. Why can't he just trust her to talk to a dude? Why can't he trust that if she's wearing a slightly lower cut shirt, it doesn't mean that she's going to go out and fuck everybody? Like, it's ridiculous. And again, we see it over and over and over in so many media. And I think we really start to take that on as something that is real and how we should behave. And I think it's crap. Somebody telling you that you know, you can't meet guy friends or that you can't wear that shirt or that skirt, fuck them. Fuck him. What were you wearing when you met? Like, drives me crazy. Oh, and then we get to the last one. I'm going to take a wine for this. So, recapping some of the things I've talked about, you know, he's experienced, rich, kind of an asshole, kind of comes around to dating her, you know, ignores her boundaries, but he's so great in bed that she eventually doesn't care, you know, maybe belittle her, be condescending. But you know what? He loves her. So eventually, she changes his ways and they realize that he's really just wounded deep down inside. He's been hurt, either something in his childhood or another woman had scarred him so deeply that he had all these boundaries and walls up and he was really just being mean and rude and cruel to all these women because he was scared of love. But she's so amazing and so wonderful and they're so perfect together that those walls are broken and now they're in love and he's healed and he's a better, kinder, gentler man. And then they ride off into the sunset. And she probably isn't healed. She doesn't have to be healed. She just needs to be completed. Now that she has a man in her life, she is a whole wonderful human being that can now focus on her career. Or, who are we kidding? They never focus on their career. They start having fucking babies. Again, talking to you, Anastasia Steele. Wanted a publishing career? Ends up having babies. Ugh. Why can't erotic novels ever just be about fucking? Like, why does it always have to be about the creation of a family? Why can't they just ride off into the sunset and keep fucking in all kinds of amazing, interesting new places and not have to have babies? I don't know. I don't get the baby thing. Babies are not romantic. You know, that's why erotica always ends when there's babies, because they stop fucking. See? We need to fix some of this shit. We need better erotica endings. I could go on about the problems in erotica, but I'm not going to. I'm going to end it there. I know this is a short episode and a little ranty. Forgive my ranting. But this is a topic, as I said, I think that is really important. And I think we need to critically look at the messages we receive from, like I said, our erotic literature, our movies, and our TV shows, and look deeper as into what they are actually saying about, you know, sexuality and how we relate to each other and how we're supposed to treat each other and how sex is supposed to work and how it's supposed to look. And I think we really need to deconstruct some of that and keep what works for you personally. Like, you know, if you love the ravishment element of some of this erotica, great. Keep reading them. That's totally, totally fine. You should enjoy whatever erotica and porn you enjoy without feeling shame about it. But I guess just remember that a lot of it is fantasy, and that's fine. I'm a huge fan of fantasy, and whatever goes on in our heads is okay. But yeah, I think we need to remember that fantasy and the things we read for sexual entertainment aren't always a true and honest reflection of how we want and should be in our real sexual lives. So just keep that in mind. Think critically. Go enjoy whatever erotic entertainment you enjoy. I'm actually going to go enjoy my own erotic entertainment right now. I've got some, I've been into Japanese fanfic porn. It's, I fucking love it. Some of it's total shit. And some of it is so hot. I read and reread it over and over again. A lot of it is gay, which surprisingly, I really, really enjoy gay male Japanese pop star erotica. Gets me going every single time. If you have no idea what I'm talking about but are curious, one of my favorite sites to go check that out is called An Archive of Our Own. And that is the website, An Archive of Our Own. But it is not just Japanese boy band fanfic. They've got a ton of fanfic. It's not all dirty. It's not all erotica. If you want the dirty stuff, you have to search and put in that you want the explicit material, and whole new worlds will be opened to you. So that's what I'm off to do now. I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening. As always, I love to hear from you, so don't be afraid to shoot me an email or hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. That's all for now, and I will catch you next time.
This has been the Drunk Sex Podcast with Jen Wodkey. For more sex talk, head over to the Jen Wodkey Facebook group or check out jenwodkey.com. Till next time, happy boozing and sexing.